We got snacks.
We got snacks.
We've got some.
Mr. Boo Boo, listen to us.
Listened.
Yes.
And we got pumpkin cider and.
Holy shamoli.
Holy guacamole. Krispy Kreme.
We have pumpkin.
Pumpkin.
Apple. It's pumpkin cake, maple, oatmeal. It's salted caramel cheesecake and a like apple pie donut. It's freaking amazing. So Mr. Boo Boo surprised us for our watch party. He's the best. He took the kids to cheer. He's the real MVP right now.
We've got 5-layer dip and popcorn.
My homemade, my mom's recipe of popcorn that is basically so much butter it should be illegal, but
it's not.
Everything's better with butter.
So. If this sounds a little bit different, it's because we're using a different mic so that we don't have to keep picking it up all the time during our watch party.
And my mic broke.
And there's that part too.
So sure, if you're listening, make a better microphone.
There's that part.
We did not have them for long enough for a port on the bottom to be stuck inside. So that was fun. Anyways, all right. Do you want to hear a joke?
Of course I do.
All right, I got a Halloween one. What do you call a haunted chicken?
Cock-a-boobaloo, I don't know.
A poultrygeist. Wait, do you want one more?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, that's a redneck one.
Oh, I like these.
Okay, what do tornadoes and redneck divorces have in common?
What?
Somebody's fixing to lose a trailer.
No.
Oh, God.
Oh, man. Well, hello and welcome to Lunatic Soup, the podcast where we go into all things wild, weird, and unknown. We're your host, Meg.
And I'm Raina, ready to brew up some lunatic soup.
Let's go. Doing a watch party,
but first we're gonna do a cider. Hell yeah, we have been looking forward to this.
I've been looking forward to this since last fall.
Yeah, you've already had it this fall.
Yeah,
I mean, so have I.
It's so good. So this is Schilling's Chider Spiced Chai Cider, and they changed the, last year. The can was adorable. It's this little owl with like a beanie cap on him. This year it's a kraken, but the owl's still there in the corner.
Yep, I love it. I love that they changed it.
I like that.
Like, it's really good. I like the crack.
It's very cute. It's got a little narwhal on it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, they do.
Very cute. Adorable. All right. Ready? 1, 2.
Just the smell of it.
So freaking good.
Oh, gosh. That is fall in a can.
Oh, it really is.
Honestly, that's right up there with an angry whore.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Like, the flavors are.
Oh, yeah. 1,000%. It always reminds me of the Elysian. They have a pumpkin beer. That's my favorite around this time of year.
So good.
And I used to drink it while we watched American Horror Story. And every time I, like, it just brings me back to that. It was like my thing. It was like every Thursday.
Spices.
Yep. We'd watch American Horror Story and I would drink the pumpkin beer and it was like a pumpkin pie. This is chai, but that wasn't
so good.
Close enough. Anyways, all right, Meg, what are we watching today? Because it is a watch party.
It is a watch party. And today we are watching The Unbinding. It's a documentary by Greg and Dana Newkirk. So Greg and Dana Newkirk are the two of the world's most full-time paranormal investigators.
Like, you know that?
Well-known paranormal investigators.
Wow.
And so they did this documentary, and I was lucky enough to hear them talk about it before it came out a couple of years ago.
Yep.
Back in New Hampshire. And it is about this. So one of the things that they do is they take in haunted objects.
Ooh.
Okay. They have haunted objects sent to them. And one of the things that Greg says is, you know, less than 10% of the objects are actually going to do anything.
Uh-huh.
Because the intention isn't there. Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
This particular one did something. I haven't seen it. I do know the story because I heard them talk about it at length, but I haven't seen it. I'm super excited to watch it. I'm wanting to watch it for like a year now.
I'm really glad it's daylight. If you're seeing us on the YouTubes, you can see it's still light outside.
Okay, it's
6 p.m. and light out. So, and we have approximately 2 hours to get this done before my children are back from cheer.
Let's do it.
Let's go, hoes.
Already, you know, hitting the ball out of the park with this.
Already, like, scary as fuck opening.
But off the bat, you're in the Catskill Mountains, which was in my backyard.
Yeah.
And they find in a cave this object.
And it looks like a tiki man with a noose around its neck and nails in its eyeballs.
Yes. And that, you will find out that is what the actual
Statue looks like. Oh, so that wasn't actually it. That was just like for the movie's sake, Kate.
For the movie's
sake. I was like, that's ballsy to like move it around.
No, and you'll find out why they can't use it.
They were saying that there was like they get sent all kinds of stuff. They're like porcelain clowns, you know, dolls, all this stuff. And they're like 10% of the things that we get sent actually like have something. And basically implied that like this piece was specifically like frightening in that 10%.
Mm-hmm. The opening's very, like,
I'm so excited.
Off to a good start, guys.
I'm so excited. All right, we're gonna keep going.
Okay, so we just got through the initial, like, big introduction about Greg and Dana Newkirk, and I just wanna say how much I adore them. They are just genuine human beings. Dana, when I got to meet her, she just exudes this positive, accepting, wonderful energy. And she's a witch.
Yeah.
She is a self-proclaimed witch. She practices it as her religion. And how she speaks about it, how it's a personal, like, practice, it's so beautiful, and I wish that's what everybody understood about.
Yeah, I mean, they talked about how it is very, like, in society, which, you know, we're taught that it's, like, evil and casting spells and all this stuff, when really it's literally, and we've said this on this podcast before, it's, like, working with nature is what it is. It's
just energies.
The energies of nature, yeah. Which is, like, a thing. It's proven in science. It's not anything people being crazy, but anyways. But it's, I mean, she seems amazing, and how they start off talking about how Greg, right? Mm-hmm. How he started paranormal investigating when he was in high school. He was a Baptist
preacher, yeah, and then he ended up marrying a witch,
which I love. I think that's great.
I love it.
But he was investigating stuff in high school, and he said he just kind of fell into it because he was just wanting to do something and get scared by it. And then they said that they were both, you know, running rival paranormal teams where she was investigating a creepy cemetery and so was he. And then eventually their paths crossed and realized that they had a lot of things in common. And
I feel like I get, and this could be, you know, complete horseshit, who knows, but I feel like I get a feel for people.
Mm-hmm. No, like, I agree. Yeah.
They are just wonderful.
I love her energy.
Yeah,
for sure. I mean, and it's hard. I haven't met them in person, but like just from this and this opening, I feel like they seem like really great.
Should hear them talk about the time they met Jeff Goldblum. It's the most hilarious story I think I've ever heard. Just how Jeff comes into the woods like,
like just very Jeff Goldblum. Yes. Yeah, like how you would, yeah. Yes. I love that because it's like I can just say that,
right? I am not ready for this.
Oh my God.
So basically Greg and Dana got a message from somebody who said that they were out in the Catskills, just kind of hiking around, and in a cave they found this, they called it an effigy.
Yeah,
little statue. Mm-hmm. So then they did what you're not supposed to do, and they brought it home with them. And this guy had it in his house, and all of a sudden all these things started happening. He started hearing knocking at night. The statue would move every night. The dog wouldn't go near it.
The dog peed itself 3 nights in a row inside of the house, which is not normal.
Yeah, that's not normal behavior for a trained dog.
Yeah,
yeah. And then one night he heard knocking at the door in the middle of the night, so he opened the door, and as soon as he opened the door, he thought, oh, fuck, I should not have opened this door.
Yeah.
Then, after that, the dog was barking one night. He came downstairs, and there were muddy footprints. Not shoe prints, actual footprints.
Like barefoot.
Barefoot prints, muddy, through the house leading up to the effigy.
And this is all being told from his friend, the guy who – so there's the guy who stole the statue. He – went to stay at his friend's guest room. And so this friend who's letting this guy stay with him is writing on Reddit saying, like, what do we do with this?
Because you can't burn it. You can't do all these things. Yeah. What do we do? Because now the guy left. The guy took his dog and left to his friend's house. He's staying at his friend's house. The person who wrote in said his friend was so, he's been an atheist his whole life, but he was so disturbed that he was crying.
And he doesn't believe in any of this shit normally.
No.
He is not a believer. Neither one of them are.
No.
Like, and so they're like, but it's so bad that they're all like, what the hell do we do?
Are happening.
So, and I will say, like, you know, we watched the other documentaries. This is like,
this is good.
Freaky. Yeah. This is actually like, what the fuck?
This isn't just, you know, trick of the camera to try and
push a narrative.
No,
this is a series of events, and then take with that what you will.
We'll take what we will.
Let's go.
Go on.
We don't know what happened yet, but Greg said that he's been messaging back and forth with this Reddit user about what to do. And one thing he said that I really liked, he goes, it's really important to Dana and I that we do not like portray ourselves to be someone that's going to come in and fix your problems. Yep. We're going to give you the tools on how to fix your problem.
We're not coming in to save the day, but
right.
If you really can't fix your problem and you really need help, like you're incapable or like
unable,
not up to it,
mm-hmm.
We will, but we're not going to offer it, like, you know.
Yeah, love that.
Really
love
respectful.
That. Their philosophies I love. Then he says, then things really got escalated. They weren't escalated enough.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm like, what the fuck happens now?
Also, we broke out the donuts with the chider.
Oh my. If you have not yet, go get yourself a pumpkin cake donut from
Krispy Kreme,
and then, or from anywhere, I'm sure,
a pumpkin or an apple cider donut, and then
the chider. Oh my God, or a pumpkin cider would probably be delightful too. We did a pumpkin cider last time.
It makes your soul feel happy.
Holy shit, it feels like fucking fall just like exploded in my mouth.
I'll take it.
All right, let's go.
It's getting weird.
Very weird.
Real weird.
So they go back to the apartment because they've decided that they want to send it to the Newkirks. They get there and the whole place smells like, they say, like a dog that rolled in water and is dirty. And then his dog refused to go in the apartment at all. And the statue had moved spots from like where he'd left it on a table to, where was it?
In the hallway.
In the hallway. And so they picked it up, apologized to it a ton, said, we're sorry. And then they said they just got this overwhelming feeling. Oh, because they were going to return it back to the cave.
Right.
And then they decided after, like, they were with it, they got this overwhelming feeling like they should not go back to the cave.
Right.
And they should send it to the Newkirks.
And then they both looked in the corner and saw what they thought was an old woman dripping wet.
Yeah, the dog started going bananas outside.
Eyes glowing. So they ran outside.
Eventually, he went back. He wrapped it in a pillowcase, put it in a box, and now he's shipping it to the Newkirks. Fuck.
Jeez.
Oh, man.
So they have the effigy, and they name it the crone.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who sent it to them said they saw an old woman. An old woman is kind of the archetype for, you know, the crone, the mm-hmm. older woman, the older witch type figure.
Yeah.
So that's what they named her.
Mm-hmm.
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 They did what they normally do. They took pictures of it, and then they put it on the shelf and went about their day because, like he said, 9 times out of 10, nothing happened.
Yeah. So they just were like, yeah, it's not going to act up. We're just going to go about life.
Yeah. So they're in the evening. They're watching TV or whatever they're doing in the living room, and they hear a crash. They go towards the office thinking it was the cats. The cats are hiding under the bed, scared.
In the bedroom that's next to the office.
It's next to the office.
And he said they're terrified, and he also says, like, how to know there's a ghostie around is look at your pets, which,
yeah,
we've seen plenty of times. So he opens the door to the office and starts to walk in and almost steps on Jesus.
Yes. So he had a crucifix on the wall held on by a single nail, and then on the crucifix was a figurine of Jesus nailed to the cross. The nail on one of the hands and on the feet was ripped out, and then the other arm was kind of ripped off of the statue, and that nail stuck in place. His argument was because the crucifix itself was only held to the wall by a single nail, somebody or something would have had to hold the cross and rip the Jesus off of it.
And because it was what was left on the crucifix was Jesus's palm with the nail in, and then his forearm.
Yeah.
And it was just dangling.
It was had to have been ripped off.
And then below the Jesus, or below the cross, the crucifix, was
the crone.
The crone sitting in a chair. And so he said, and that was our first indication that this may be not good.
It's getting wild, weird, and unknown.
You guys is right up our alley.
Right up our alley. All right, let's go.
So they Bigfoot hunt as another thing that they do. And
I mean, can we just hang out?
I know.
Can we just hang out? Honestly. Greg and Dana Newkirk, if you are listening,
We would like to invite you to Seattle, Washington to just hang out.
I know. We'll go Bigfoot hunting. Go squatching.
We'll go Bigfoot hunting. We've got a lot of paranormal sites that we could go look at. Starvation Heights. That would be a good one. I've got a bunch of them. I got them all in my back pocket. Contact me.
Anyways, but so they like put this trail cam in that in the office because they're like, we want to try and like just see what we can capture. And they get like first they're like the first thing we caught was a what was it? Like the something in the corner.
Yeah, and they thought it could be a bug.
It could be a bug. And then they saw an orb and they're like, you know, we're not orb people. Orbs can be so many
things. I'm not a person either.
Me either, until we saw it in front of us that one time.
That was weird.
That one fucked me up. Anyways, and then what they noticed when they were watching the orb video, though, is that the light changed in the room as if that orb was like...
Because there was like a light a light on a picture frame.
Yeah. Well, you could just see the exposure change. Yeah. You could see like what, like it was like a white flash.
Yeah.
Like a camera going off
some
or like...
Some sort of anomaly was...
Yeah, with light, which is not normal. And then if you look closely, the crone moved. Mm-hmm. Ever so slightly, and they capture that all on video. It's just this tiniest move. Picture. Nothing else around it, or picture. Yeah, nothing else around it, but it's like consecutive pictures.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing else around it moves. They're like, if a truck went by, more things would move. There are lighter things on that would have moved. Nothing else moved. And they're like, so we knew we needed to investigate this more. I love it.
Kind of.
Just.
All right, so Dana actually gets scared, which if you have seen her, have like heard her, she does not seem like a woman that would scare easily.
You think they investigate for a living. This is what they do for
this
a living.
This is what they do for
and
a
they
living.
Get objects, they do all this. So basically it goes to them, they're laying in bed one night and she shakes her husband awake and he's like, it's the first time I've ever seen her actually terrified. And she describes seeing the witch, the being, whatever it was, open the closet door.
Like a dark arm.
And
it's what it portrayed it as.
Yeah. But I will just say this documentary is done so well because it makes it, that shows like what you're envisioning her saying, which is fucking terrifying. It's scary. And so they both say at this point is when they realize that they're actually dealing with something that like something's in the house.
Now something's in the house.
Yeah.
And obviously they can only assume that it came from the crone.
Yes.
Because that's when things started.
And that they saw what the guys said they saw too. Isn't that what they said?
I don't know if they thought it was the same thing that they saw, but it was something.
Something.
It was something.
Either way, it was fucking creepy.
Yeah, it was. So she's yelling at her husband, did you come out of the shower and stand on the couch? And he's like, no. He's like, you didn't come out of the shower when you were wet and you changed the light bulb above the couch. He's like, what are you talking about? Then they show pictures. There were wet footprints on the top of the couch.
Like, these are pictures that they took. This is not like the documentary, like the reenactment. This is their pictures and there are feet prints on the top of the couch. Wet ones. What the fuck?
Okay. I like that picture they have. It's Bigfoot and it says something about unknown. I love it.
Yep. All right, let's play.
This is wild. Wild.
So they decide to take it out, put it on a coffee table, and have a conversation with it and say, like, listen, we need to coexist. They're like reasoning with, which is often what you do if there are entities in a house. Like, it's a normal paranormal thing to be like, stop messing with us. We'll stop messing with you. Like, you know, we're going to coexist here. Everything should be fine.
And they said, we can help you if you need help.
Yes. And as they're having this conversation, they said it sounded like there's like rushing water coming from the other room, as in they had a pipe burst in a different apartment before and they thought a pipe had burst.
Yeah.
So they get up and they run to where the water sound comes from and nothing's there.
Yeah. So then they heard a loud bang from the living room. They head back to the living room and the crone is gone. They can't find it anywhere.
And then he sees it under the TV stand.
Right. He's down on his hands and knees going to reach under to grab it.
And as he's doing that, he hears his wife, Dana, shriek because the TV is now starting to fall almost onto his head, as in something pushed it.
Right.
She catches it so it doesn't smash into him. And he, at this point, like basically loses his shit, which he said is, he doesn't normally act like this, but like this is
a lot.
A lot. So he says, fine, if you're going to be like this, we're putting you in a box and we're locking it up. And then they hear three more thumps from the kitchen. And he said, I took that as a yes. So I put it in a pillowcase, put it in a box and put a lock on it.
Boom. Okay. They go on tour and they have their haunted objects with them. And they get speeches and they show the objects, blah, blah, blah. So they say they're going to put it in a box and just bring it out on tour with them. Now we're in, this was all in February 2016. Now we are in August 2017 at the Michigan Paranormal Convention.
Oh, man.
All right, so they're at the Michigan Paracon, and this is a huge event. It's one of the biggest paranormal conventions in the country. It's in Sault Ste. Marie, which we talked about, and my aunt had to call me and tell me because I was saying Sault Ste. Marie or something.
Yeah.
Anyway, somebody asks to see the chrome because they had talked about it, and he goes, all right, just for a second.
Well, and they debated. They were like, right. They went back and forth. They were like hesitant, and then they're like, okay.
For a second. He unwraps it from the pillowcase, and it's like a shot of energy just went straight down the corridor of this convention center.
He said in a span of 15 to 20 seconds, this energy shot out, knocked over exploded a soda that was sitting on the person across from them who was selling books, mm-hmm. like destroyed a bunch of books. Chandeliers were swinging, lights were flickering, and then a guy at the very end of the aisle started having a super violent seizure where blood was coming out of his mouth. And then the guy who asked them to open it started just crying and was like, please just put it away. I'm sorry. And they put it away as fast as they could, and they looked at each other like, we got to take this back. We got to bring it back to wherever it came
from. Yeah, we can't. This never can happen again.
Okay. Meg, I'm not going to be able to sleep tonight.
Okay, so real quick, they're going to do a scan of the crone, but they're not going to do it in anybody's house, so they have a hotel. They did a live stream on Halloween night in 2017. They're doing an Estes session. Dana is the one under blindfolded headphones. She can't hear anything in the room around her. She's in the session for an hour and a half.
Yeah.
20 minutes, it's dream.
A long time. So if you guys don't remember what an Estes session is, just real fast, it's where you plug it into like a radio that like sweeps different channels. And it is what everyone in the paranormal world believes, that the entities, whatever it is, ghosties, spirits, will send out the words. So like someone who is not on a blindfold with noise canceling headphones on asks questions, and then the person which is essentially under responds. So this whole video is them asking questions, and Dana is responding with exact answers. Like, it's wild.
It's wild. So she says that there are two entities answering, a gravelly, she describes it as a scary male voice, and then a female voice.
Mm-hmm.
So they do a scan, and then they're doing another scan, and they ask, are you being held prisoner? Like, are you captive? And Dana, who cannot hear the conversation in the room, responds with what she hears through the sweeping radio, and it says, I am, help me.
Yep. And then so the first one saved the scan that they did of the object, because they're doing it to 3D print it, correct?
Right.
And so the first scan saved everything but the nails in the eyes and this thing's fingernails. Now they're doing a second scan of it, even though throughout the first scan it told them to stop. It said, don't do it. It was like telling them to stop. Now they're doing a second one, and we just pause and it says that now the program's frozen.
This is absolutely...
This is intense. Guys, we're only halfway through.
This is an unbelievable...
Yeah.
Anyway. Myself getting emotional listening to this, because you can feel the pain of this entity that's bound to this effigy.
I mean, it's sad. Like, you can, like, it. What's wild too is when you're watching this, it's like the SC session is obviously Dana's under and they're not, and they're asking questions, and how accurate and like timed the questions are, and her answers with exactly what they're asking. And it's very, like, I mean, very intense. There is something clearly going on with it. And even Dana, like, said there's 40 minutes between the second and third scan. They're scanning the crone again for the 3D. And she doesn't feel any random pains unless they're doing a scan. So the first two times she would feel pains when they were scanning it. Now they're scanning it again a third time, and she was feeling a sharp pain in her neck. So it's making her feel away. They can tell that there is a woman spirit that is also being trapped by this thing, and
he's calling it
the brother bit him. So they're saying it's some sort of religious, like,
binding
is what they're speculating right now. So
wild.
After this, they take it home and they're 3D printing it. And the 3D printer guy decided that to get it to the best of their ability, because they couldn't get the nails or the noose in the pickup of the object, that he was going to print everything separately. So print the body, print the head, and then print the noose separately and put it all together. In the printing process, he actively watched the digital file be manipulated so that between the head and the body, it looked like a hand with fingernails coming out of it.
Right. Like something trying to escape almost.
The escape. And he could see the original digital thing. None of that was in there. He's like, I've printed so many things. We've never had anything like this happen. It makes zero sense.
Just wild. Absolutely wild to me.
Oh.
All right, so they are headed to the Catskill Mountains. They want to bring this effigy back,
yeah,
to where it came from. They feel like that's the right course of action. They're heading into, is it Ellensville?
Doesn't matter. They're heading into wherever.
The Catskill Mountains.
Yeah. All right.
And they notice that there's a lot of Ukrainian signs around. It's a big Ukrainian population. So they text their friend John Tenney, and his knowledge is incredible of the paranormal. And they ask him, like, what do you think? Like, we have this effigy. You know about that. There's a big Ukrainian population, Slavic population, which Raina and I were talking about how Slavic witchcraft is
insane.
Insanely just fascinating.
And very, like, ancient and kind of terrifying.
So John Tenney texts back, well, what about Baba Yaga?
Which Meg and I both had
gasped.
Like, my jaw wide open, because we've heard about Baba Yaga. Well, we did cover, she was covered in what, like the Christmas?
I think so.
Well, yeah, it was.
But we've heard of her. She is the crone archetype.
Yeah. So she represents like witchcraft and blah, blah, blah. Well, no, not, she's a crone archetype. Well, so then he types Baba Yaga in, finds an Etsy shop that goes back to like Ukrainian artist.
It's from Russia.
Ukrainian. Russian?
The Etsy shop was from a Russian artist.
Okay, sorry, Russian artist.
Who made, yes, altar statues.
Yes, of different, like, archetypes for worshiping. And then he finds this one called... We gotta go back. What was it?
So he finds this statue of Mokesh, who is a Slavic goddess, like the only one really in this pantheon.
Mm-hmm.
And
it looks exactly like the crone.
Looks like the statue, this effigy that they found in the Catskills. And he types it in, and she's the goddess of moisture.
Wetness.
Fate.
And witchcraft.
Just.
The fuck?
So they go and they see like I don't know where Lord Third was, but they found like a Russian historian.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Like for ancient Slavic Soviet stuff, and they're talking to her about like the, I guess you would say, lore of the Slavic people.
Yep.
And she's talking about it, and she said basically it branched off into, you know, neo-paganism and Christianity, and they kind of go back and forth with each other. They show her the crone, and she goes, what bothers me is the nails and the noose. That's not a part of any of the archetypes that we would see in these ancient figures. So they do some research and they find that the figure itself, the carving itself, is quite old, but the noose and the nails, they found them at the store at Walmart at the base of the mountains
where it was
figure was found. So they ask this historian, like, could there be conflict between, you know, old religion and new religion? And she says, absolutely, because the neo-pagans are saying, we are not Christian, and the Christians are basically trying to squash neo-paganism. So that's kind of developing the story of what could potentially be happening here.
Mm-hmm. And they did also say that typically this, the crone or whatever her name was that they figured out, holds either a bucket of water or a ball of yarn or like thread of some kind. Because she is also related to like fertility and a bunch of stuff. And so they found out what typically she is holding between her hands. That's been removed.
It's been removed.
And so that they haven't said
yours. The figure's hands, like the wood, it can see that out. Something has been removed from in between her hands.
And they're saying it's either a bucket of water or a like ball of time.
Smoke has essentially be holding.
Yeah.
Okay, so we had to move upstairs because the babies were about to come home.
Yeah.
So basically, they are formulating a plan to bring the crone back to where she came from. And when they do this, things start ramping up. Like, the energy reading is off the charts.
Yeah, they have one of those energy readers that they put it in. What is an EMF?
EMF.
Yeah, and the thing is going off the charts.
Only when it's held up.
To the
effigy. So now we are in October 2018. We are back in upstate New York. And
of course it's around Halloween.
Of course.
Why wouldn't it be?
So they are going to unbind the crone or the entity from this statue.
And
essentially.
To do so, they have to take it back to where it was found and then take the noose off and the nails out of its face.
To unbind it.
Where it
was
found.
Leaving it there, but they need to take a molding of it once they take the nails and noose off, so they have to go to the mountains. So they're in the mountains, and they're about to hike.
Here's
all their equipment.
With all the shit that has gone on, like, why do they need a mold of this?
For science. For
I get there's
science. For the curiosity. For paranormal
mind. I see that, but I am like, just leave it. Just why? Why?
It's going to happen again, and now we'll have a roadmap of what to do.
Well, good for them. So they go up the mountain, and Dana is essentially being like, this is what we have to do to get this entity out. And, like, we need to – she's casting a circle, which is like a protective circle of black salt. They have to stay inside of it. They cannot leave until this is done. What is blowing my mind right now is that she has this, like – obvious knowledge of what needs to be done, like, but also I think she's terrified.
Yeah.
And it's wild to like think that she like she knows what she's doing right here, or thinks she thinks she does enough, but I'm sure she's scared that she's like, what if I fuck this up?
I think she's scared, but she does have enough knowledge and enough background
to do it.
Like, this is how we do
it. But it's still like how fucked up that thing is. Like, yeah. Shit.
So she's casting the circle around their campsite, essentially.
And they cannot leave it until everything's done. So they start the unbinding process, and Dana has a bunch of her coven, which they call it like a digital coven, or I can't remember what they said, but it was whatever it is. It's digital witches, people that she has gotten from around the world, essentially, who are also witches, to, at the same time that they are doing this unbinding ritual, to partake at home and assist them with the energy, which is really cool because they video themselves and they incorporate that into the documentary where you see all these women doing the same exact thing. The way this documentary is done is it brings all the emotions and it's really good. So then they start to do the unbinding ritual, which is...
they pull the nails out, which are incredibly difficult to pull out. And then their friend undoes the noose. Everybody's emotional.
Yeah, he's crying as he's doing it. But they said the second they took the noose off, they could feel this, like, pop of energy. And they could tell that whatever was bad was...
Gone.
And as that happened, all these coyotes start, like, going bananas on...
And you can hear it in the film.
Yeah.
Which up until that point, you couldn't hear any animals.
And this was their own, like, video, not a,
Right. A 10 out of 10, please go watch this documentary.
Yeah. So it ends.
In the mountain.
They came down the mountain, and then they decided to, the one thing that they were saying that as they're finishing the documentary that bothered them is they couldn't figure out the name of the B name,
Bidum.
They couldn't figure it out. So they started Googling that, and they were led to another, we didn't talk about this, but they had specifically said that in Russia there was this, what do they call it? The paganism?
Neo-paganism.
Say it again.
Neo-paganism.
Neo-paganism, where...
Well, no, neo-paganism is basically new.
Yeah,
so this was like ancient
paganism. Ancient paganism that had been lost. That had been lost. And essentially they found a god that the ancient paganism they had, or goddess, had worshipped. And the dates of her like festival to celebrate her were October 25th and 26th.
The Kikamora.
And those are the days that they were on the mountain. They went up on the 25th, which was a Thursday. And the actual celebration was on the 26th, which was the day that they finished the unbinding, which was wild. And then, there's that. And then they just talked about how, they just had so many amazing theories about like haunted objects and the world that we live in and it teaching us lessons and how much has been lost to like Christianity, essentially.
Christianity and not just that, but how we're losing our oral history.
Yeah.
And how storytelling is so essential because that's basically how we pass down humanity.
Yeah. But the Kikamora, what was it? It was the goddess of swamp. Was that what it was?
She's the Slavic house spirit creature that embodies, she's not a good or a bad spirit, but she's a swamp spirit.
Basically, this crone was attached to an ancient goddess.
Yeah.
If you will.
Yeah.
Is what they came down to.
Eventually came down to that.
Which is not what obviously they went in thinking was going to happen. They thought it was just attached to like an entity or if even, you know, and it's wild that they...
Because a lot of the objects that they get, you know, somebody will say, like, it's just an object. But somebody, essentially humans...
Put intention.
An object.
Yeah, with their intentions and their feelings and their...
Right.
But... Yeah, so it's wild. And they said, you know, there's no such thing as coincidences, which I say that all the time and I fully believe. And they're saying everything led us to this object to release it. So whatever had been done, however it was tied to this object, they felt like it had been called to them in some capacity for them to release it.
Yeah.
So
they had been led to it. And Dana says that she's not the same person she was, you know, then as she is now, because they essentially had an interaction with an ancient goddess.
Yeah. So,
they say it so much more eloquently than we could ever
say it. I honestly wish that we are telling you this and that you just got to watch this documentary firsthand because this was insane.
You wanted a documentary that was, what did you say, real?
You delivered, Megan. You delivered. This was so good. This was better than I could have imagined. Am I going to sleep tonight?
No.
I don't know. It does make me feel better that it's an ancient goddess that was haunting it. However, still fucking scary. Intense.
I just go watch it. Yeah. Greg and Dana Newkirk, I can't verbalize how they did.
Yeah.
You need to watch it. You need to really take in, like, this will bring out emotions in you. It's The Unbinding. We rented it on Amazon for $5.
Yep. Worth every penny.
Yeah.
Definitely go and watch it. All right, you guys. Well, that's the end of our night because my kids are home from cheer and downstairs. They're yelling at me, Mom, what's for dinner, even though I already fed them.
Literally.
What's new?
Literally left the house with food in their hand.
I watched. It was just Hot Pocket.
It was food.
Still, it was food.
Literally, we were upstairs, came up in the door, up the stairs, through the door. Mom, what's for dinner?
Where's your dad? Downstairs.
That is
God.
That just sums up motherhood.
Mom life.
Right there. I'm very lucky that my husband came home and was like, go.
Yeah. We're just at my house. So we're like, God damn it.
So, yeah, but it's time to go to bed. I'm going to rewatch that.
Yeah.
I'm going to rewatch that. That was fascinating. I want to take that all in.
I told Mr. Boo Boo, I was texting him and my sister Shannon. I'm like, watch this.
That was amazing.
Shannon Googled it and she was absolutely fucking not.
We'll watch it with you, Shannon. I'll hold your hand.
It was so good.
It was great. So I hope you enjoyed this watch party.
All right, you guys, let's get some lunatic soup because you need it for
all the things.
You know, on social media. You guys know the drill. We're done. We're out.
Good night.
Good night.
Remember, in this crazy world,
it's good to be a lunatic.
Good night.
Bye.